Good morning, and again, I thank all of you for being here on another gorgeous day. Most of us are here. We have one out this morning. Hopefully, she'll be back next week. I want to talk to you this morning about profane Esau. Now, the scriptures give descriptions of the characters of various men. Barnabas is described as a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, Acts 11:24. The woman who anointed Jesus had done what she could, in Mark 14:8. Job is described as a perfect and upright, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil, Job 1:1. In contrast to these good men, Esau is described as a profane man, in Hebrews 12:16. So let's see what characterized this man as profane. Let's first look at the definition of profane. The word profane means accessible, lawful to be trodden. The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament defines the word as applied to persons, denotes profane men who are far from God. Their unholiness includes ethical deficiency in accordance with the New Testament approach. I believe the best definition of Hebrews 12:6 is irreligious. Look with me at 1 Timothy 1:9, if you would. 1 Timothy 1:9. Paul wrote, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Now turn over to 1 Timothy 4 and look at verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now look at 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of science falsely so called. One more. Move over to 2 Timothy if you would. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 16. Paul wrote, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. These uses show that profane carries the idea of one who is unholy and uninterested in holy things. Let's look at Esau, the profane man. The life of Esau describes his profane ways. The scriptures relate that Esau was the older of two sons born to Isaac and Rebekah. Read about that in Genesis 25:19-28. One of the earliest things said about him is that he sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. In Genesis 25:29-34. And I want us to read that together if you would. That's Genesis 25:29-34. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. If you look at Genesis 26 and verse 34, we see that Esau married Hittite wives named Judith and Basemath. When Isaac's health declined, he wanted to confer the birthright blessings on Esau, whom he favored over Jacob. But this was the intention, in spite of the divine prophecy, before the children were born, which said in verse 23 of Genesis 25, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Under the providence of God and through the deceit of Jacob and Rebekah, the birthright blessings were conferred on Jacob, on Jacob rather than Esau. Now, if you will, look at Genesis 27. As a result of this, Esau hated Jacob, and he threatened to kill his brother, as seen in Genesis 27, verse 41 and 42. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob." And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee." Now, brethren, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 28. And we'll look at verses 6 through 9. Now, to keep Esau from killing Jacob, Rebekah manipulated Isaac to send Jacob to Haran and search for a wife from among their clan. When Esau perceived that his marriage to the Hittite women displeased his parents, he married an Ishmael daughter, hoping to better please his parents. Verse 6 of chapter 28. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan," and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram, and Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto him wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, and the sister of Nebajah, to be his wife. Now, aside from his temporary hatred of his brother, there is no positive wickedness ascribed to Esau. He wasn't a murderer, he wasn't a fornicator, he didn't steal or anything. In many respects, one appreciates him more than the conniving brother Jacob. But Jacob later became a better person. What the scriptures condemn Esau for is his lack of appreciation for that which is holy. This is the sense in which he is described as profane. The writer of the Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 16, and we need to look at that, if you would please. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16. Hebrew writer said, "Lest there be any fornication or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." So he's called a profane person there by the Hebrew writer. Selling his birthright blessing was evident of Esau's profanity. The birthright blessing is a precious thing. Deuteronomy 21, verse 15 through 17, the firstborn receives a double portion of the inheritance. For example, if there were three children, the inheritance was divided into four parts, and the firstborn received two parts, or one half of the inheritance. The firstborn usually became the leader of the clan. In reference to the sons of Abraham, the inheritance related to the future promises of the sons of Abraham, which were the land promise, the promise of a great nation descending from his loins, and of course, the seed promise. Esau showed his disdain for these divine blessings when he sold them for a mess of pottage. Later, he despised his birthright. And brethren, there are profane men today. Esau was not the only son of a man of faith who became profane. There are many profane descendants of Christians, as just as Esau was a profane descendant of righteous Isaac. Children will still squander their spiritual heritage. Esau was an heir of a great spiritual heritage. His grandfather Abraham was the one who was called from the Ur of Chaldees to the great spiritual promises from the Lord. His father Isaac voluntarily allowed his father to tie him to the altar to be slain in complete confidence that God would raise him from the dead. But his faith was not in the heart of Esau. He squandered his great spiritual heritage. Many children appreciate this great heritage and walk in the footsteps of their faithful parents like Esau had done. Look with me at 2 Timothy, if you would, chapter 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Second Timothy 1, verses 5 and 6, we see the heritage Eunice and Lois gave Timothy to show how precious it was to him. Verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in the grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on my hands." Many of us have been blessed with Christian parents who were devoted to the Lord, I being one of them. They took us to church to hear the gospel. They gave us a good example. Many of us devoted children of God because we appreciate the spiritual heritage, our birthright, that our parents gave to us. We treasure this blessing and are conscientiously trying to pass it down to our children. Our spiritual heritage is all that some of the parents were able to leave us. However, there are older children or other children who are like Esau. These children have no appreciation for the spiritual values and sell them for a mess of pottage. They make choices not to become murderers or thieves or extortioners or adulterers or homosexuals, but to leave God out of their lives. When they grow up, they become profane parents who are too busy running their children to ball practice, to play practice, to scouts or choral practice, and after school or part-time work to have any time left to teach these children God's Word and take them to church. Profane parents raise children who are computer wizards, star athletes, cheerleaders, and stars in the school plays and choral groups. But they are not Christians. And if the profane parents care enough to come to church, their children obviously have little or no interest in worship services or Bible classes and other spiritual matters. They come to worship without having prepared for their Bible lessons, drag in late every service, and are bored while they're there. They're just there. They're because their parents made them come. They are resolved just as soon as they get old enough to make their own decisions, they will not go to church anymore, and brethren, that is what they do. I've seen churches lose a whole generation of children in this manner. They're just like profane Esau. And children throw away their spiritual blessings because of the attractions of this world. The spiritual blessings in Christ are such a rich blessing, brethren. Did you ever think about it? Look at Ephesians chapter 1, and let's read verse 3, how Paul expressed it. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Brethren, just think what these blessings are. They are A, forgiveness of sins. B, present relationship with God and His children. And C, hope of eternal life. And D, the best life possible on earth. This is why spiritual blessings in Christ are such rich blessings. Profane men throw away this because they esteem it so lightly. These blessings are not as important to them as what they want to do. A mess of pottage means more than the great, rich spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings are not as important to them as being with a socially accepted group at school, or climbing the corporate ladder, or achieving wealth and such like things. When men give up their spiritual blessings in order to obtain such things, they are displaying the same spiritual traits as profane Esau. Jesus told us about the relatively unimportance of such things when he said in Matthew 16:26, "For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own son? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" That's from our Lord Jesus, Matthew 16:26. And children display their profane ways in whom they choose to marry. In this respect, they're like profane Esau, who thought marrying Hittites was nothing significant. The text of Genesis clearly indicates, for one to conclude that Esau demonstrated his unfitness to receive the seed promise in two ways. First, how little he esteemed his birthright blessing, and second, whom he chose to marry. When Esau chose to marry these women who had no faith in God, he manifested his lack of spirituality, his profane ways. We have no indication that Esau's wives were wicked women. They just did not have any faith in God. Many of our young people have manifested the same profane ways when they marry people who have no interest in helping them to go to heaven when they die. As a result, these marriage relationships generally pull these young people further and further away from God. Churches also squander their heritage. History records instances of birthright blessings being sold just as Esau sold his blessings. Usually those blessings were sold for something substantial. But Jacob bought Esau's birthright blessings for a bowl of bean soup. Can you imagine? A bowl of bean soup. Esau was looking at the moment, the temporary quenching of his thirst. There's no indication he was starving to death. He was just hungry. To quench his immediate physical appetite, Esau gave up a very precious blessing. Look with me at Hebrews, the 12th chapter, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Brethren, how frequently men lose light of the eternal matters because of their present wants and desires. Jesus is able to look beyond the momentarily suffering for the more abiding and eternal inheritance, as the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Let's read it together. "Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so quickly beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross," listen now, "despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus was not like Esau. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll see here where Paul looked beyond the present sufferings to the abiding inheritance in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, 16 and 17. I love this passage. Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul was not like Esau. We look back at Esau's trade and think how foolish he was. But men are still making equally foolish decisions today. Men get so little in exchange for their souls. Just a few minutes of pleasure, fornication. A few years of popularity in high school. A few years of fishing and boating. A few years to enjoy riches. A few years with a marriage companion and so on. But these are but messes of pottage. These are just messes of pottage, brethren. Bean soup. That's all it is. When compared to the soul. Esau was not the only one to purchase bean soup for the soul. Esau was a grief to his parents. Genesis 26:35 says, "Which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah." Profane children cause grief to their godly parents. I've had parents tell me with a sense of pride about their children's secular accomplishments in the business world, their educational achievements, and their humanitarian awards. But I have seen tears well up in the eyes of older saints when they were asked, "Are your children faithful to the Lord?" The pain that these parents feel from witnessing profane attitudes in their children who have walked away from the faith in God is manifest even after all these many years. Like Isaac and Rebekah, who were grieved over Esau, these parents grieve their children's apostasy from God. But I've also been around other parents who do not appear to be grieved by their children's apostasy from Christ. Their hearts are not broken by children who are living without hope of eternal life. These children perceived that eternal life really was not all that important to their parents, and they decided not to go through the same pretense that their parents did. Perhaps I'm not overstating the case to say that profane parents are not grieved by profane children. So Esau despised his birthright. One significant statement made is about Esau after he sold his birthright for a bowl of bean soup. The text says Esau despised his birthright. Genesis 25:34. The sense is that Esau regretted what he gave up for his bean soup, and to cope with it, he despised his birthright. There will come a time when those who give up eternal life for whatever they receive in exchange for their soul will come to despise that exchange in the same way that Esau did. They may hate their job, which they sacrificed their children's best spiritual interest to obtain. They may hate those peers whom they so wanted to impress that they compromised their values. Whatever the situation, one will eventually regret the decision he made, just as Esau did. And in conclusion, men who make decisions that leave God out of their lives are profane men. They may not be immoral, but they have no appreciation for the spiritual things of life. They are unscriptural, carnal people. Let's close by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 13. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 3. "For ye are yet carnal, For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Listen now, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Brethren, a Christian who will not confess his public sin has either not repented of it or is too proud to admit his mistakes, which is another sin. God says he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Proverbs 28, verse 13. So I ask you, is anyone here this morning who has sinned against God and has not asked for forgiveness? I beg you to take this opportunity to do that now. And to come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. And if you're not a Christian, you too need to come forward and repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. If we can help anyone in any way make their life right with God, would you come forward now as we stand and as we sing?